そうですか。
Welcome to TJ Flywave Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan, here in the Engine Pro Studios. You can interact with us via our Facebook page for TJSlideways.com, also on Twitter at TJSlideways. And my first guest has a different midget team this year, but he's doing the same thing he does, what it seems like, every season in the midget division, winning. And won a couple of Power Eye races a couple of weeks ago, and we're glad to have Darren Hagan on the line with us. Darren, first of all, congratulations. You had quite a weekend a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, thanks. It's if you watch the season and how we've come along this season, it's a true testimony to the time put in the shop with the guys and communicating with me back in California and trying to get me comfortable through the week. I believe we win races working on the thing during the week and at the racetrack, try to have fun and run up front. So Levi Jones and Shane Mill and George in the K&K garage working on the thing through the week is what's brought us success late in the season.
And this has been a season of change for you. You are a California native, but you've lived out here for quite a while, but you moved back during the off season and you changed race teams. So this season has been a season of change.
Yeah, really, we're just kind of in limbo at the end of the year. We've won 6 USAC national titles in a row with the 4 pavement championships in a row and just kind of came home to try to get momentum on the change of trying to do something else, try to get to the next level or come home and work. Something to spark new life. And Shane Mill offered me a deal for the end of last year, and we ran 4 races, and it was kind of a new challenge to make a new team, try to run up front every week. And let me tell you, at the beginning, for me and Levi, driving down the road and working on the thing together, it was definitely a tough challenge at the beginning, but a lot of prayer and a lot of hard work and just great organizations behind us with Great Clips Racing and Great Clips Haircut Company and Henchman Race Uniforms, Bell Helmets. Everybody putting their heads together and working hard together is what really made this team so far.
And what's odd is you're going with someone, when you talk about Levi, someone that was your competitor for a long time in sprint cars, midgets, silver crown cars, and then you have to go to working together. How different is that when someone goes from your competitor to your teammate?
Well, it's, mine and Levi's relationship's been, pretty cool. Back when I first got started and my dad owned a sprint car, JMI equipment, and, he had Levi Jones come out and help us at Turkey Night and help us set the thing up and get us rocking and rolling. And he stayed at my house when he ran for Scott Bennick, or at my parents' house when he ran for Scott Bennick there at the end of the year when he won the USAC championship. And then we became real competitors. So we were friends first and then became competitors and run second to him in the USAC National Championship in the sprint cars in, I believe, 2006 or 7, it was 2007. And just to now have him as one of the greatest race car drivers, now becoming one of the greatest crew chiefs because he really understands what a driver's feeling and really understands how to make changes to get the feeling that I need. He just learning how to chase racetrack a little bit better and better every week and learning the key things like about the shock compression numbers and rebound numbers. And we got a little mentoring going from Keith Coons Motorsports, you know, with him being real truthful and honest and helping us when we have questions about stuff. And, you know, we really just have to be smart enough to ask the questions. And Levi Jones is way smart enough to ask questions, so in the right questions.
And, of course, if you're going to have momentum, this is the time of year to have it because midget racing really starts picking up a nice little summer stretch here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we start thinking out of the box. We're one of the only midget race cars out there. That's a 4-bar car, and we put some different things on the front of it to get it to make me real comfortable getting in and through the middle and try to get some drive off. And over the last couple weeks, just building momentum and trying to build the team to be pumped and ready to go, it's really helped a lot. You know, they're ready to race. We actually got a couple weeks off right now, and they wish we were racing every day right now. So that's good motivation to have on a race team, and it keeps me motivated. And, you know, we just got a great race team that is, honestly, if you come and hang out with us for a week, you'll see that the race team is really motivated by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're all feeding off each other, and our racing is coming second, but we're all having a great time.
And it's kind of the name of the game, because if you aren't having fun, this is a very tough business to be in. Darren Hagan joining us on the line now. Darren, when you mentioned the first couple of weeks were tough, was that just getting on the same page with everyone there, or was it just a matter of getting used to the different equipment? What made the first couple of weeks difficult?
I tell you what, a little bit of everything. We had some motor issues, not really with the Esslinger, but more with fuel pump and some ignition stuff that went bad and went wrong. We just need to update a little bit. And we chased a fuel pump that went bad for about three races. We had a battery go bad, so we've got these new updated batteries. Then we chased some shock stuff, and Advanced has really stepped up our program with Bobby Barth and helping us out over there at Advanced, just really stepped up that program. Really, it was just a whole bunch of little things that a new team with a new driver and a new crew chief, and just all trying to put it all together at the same time and working through it, you know. So really just the time that it takes to put a new team together, and, you know, just the growing pains. It's really tougher than we thought from a new team to now, all the little things in between that we never thought we were going to have to chase or look at. But now we've seen it, and now we know what to do, and Levi's really, really good.
And another aspect of this is you guys have been winning, but it seems like every time we turn, we see one of Keith's cars, Keith Coons, in victory lane. They're very stout this year. What is it taking to beat those guys? Because, I mean, it seems like they are on top of their game right now and kind of dominating everything. What are you guys having to do better to be able to beat the Keith Coons stable?
Well, I tell you what, it's pretty much the same thing. If you can remember back a few years ago when Chip Ganassi and Penske Racing dominated over there in Indy. And if you look back at those, how come they dominated so much? Yeah, they had the research and the best guys and the best drivers, but ultimately they had the most horsepower. And right now, Keith Coons, he's one of the best crew chiefs out there. He's been doing it for a long time and is smart at it, researches all the shock packages, everything. But he also has a lot more horsepower and torque than the rest of us right now. And we're all doing our homework to try to get better and chase them down and figure it out, because we all want one day be in their situation. But and that's what makes our sport so great. Somebody gets on top and you got to figure out how to knock them off. But Keith Coons is very good at what he does, very good at picking some good drivers to make them even look better than what they are. But not seeing those three are bad at all, because Rico Abreu, Christopher Bell, and Tanner are definitely will man and got talent. But when you combine all three, a great crew chief, a great racer, and a lot of horsepower, you're not going to beat them.
Darren Hagan joining us. It seems like when we look at Power Eye and some of the midget stuff on the dirt, it's doing really well on the shorter tracks and stuff. The pavement side, however, has struggled mightily. What do you think caused the downfall of the pavement side of the midget division?
To be honest, I think a lot of it's the lack of effort put into it. You know, the dirt doesn't take a lot of effort, because you got dirt guys kind of across the country. And you gotta pick your pavement places to go where you know there's pavement cars. You know, you go up to Illinois, you know you're going to get good car count, and we always did. We always had great car count at Grundy Speedway and those places up there. But when you travel all the way to places that don't have great car count, like Kyle, Texas, there's not a lot of midget pavement racing going down there. And we traveled there for 2-3 years trying to make it happen, but it was really tough in the economy to make it happen down there with no cars being down there and having everybody travel down there at the beginning of the year. And just kind of the decision making, I think, of where we're going to race and when we're going to race and the effort put into it. And when your bread and butter is dirt racing and you're not putting a lot of effort into the other, it kind of dies off and falls off. And it's just how it is. You know, people could say it's the economy and stuff, but the economy's turned around. We had a pavement car sitting there. We were going to run our pavement car this year with Shane Mill and Craig Cliffs in the 56, but we just all decided not to. So whatever's making people decide not to go racing in whatever series it is, there's definitely always a reason behind it, you know?
And you think if there was, you think if the right people were in charge, do you think midget racing has the capability of taking off again?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to bring back something that's, it's really hard to bring back something that's dying off. That's really tough to do, to get people to put the people that believed in it, to get their faith back in it, plus get new people. So it's really tough to do. You know, separating the national championship pavement and dirt, separating that away, you lost a lot of guys that were committed to it. You lost Wilkie Pack that always brought one or two cars to the track. You lost Keith Coons, who brought three cars to the track every time. You know, you lost Shane Mill. There's quite a few guys you lose by separating it. So that was one key thing of separating it. You know, we won the pavement title the last 4 years in a row, and what got me to say I didn't really want to come back and run this year was we worked our butts off, not only in the race shop, but at the racetrack to chase that championship and to come at the end of the year and then not to pay even the top three drivers in that championship, and us as the champion have to try to get them to pay us, and that kind of hurts it too, you know? People don't really think so because even though that championship money doesn't mean that much for what you put into it, it does help the drivers that race for a living get through the winter times where you're sitting a little bit. And so all that stuff plays a key part, you know. So just a lot of decision-making behind the scenes is what kind of hurt that, I think.
And on the more positive side, we see groups like Power Eye and you know, a couple of the smaller groups really doing well right now. What is Power Eye doing that makes it attractive to the racer?
To be honest, it's not even the purses. It's not, you know, their purse is still the same, $2,200 to start. You know, it's the family atmosphere. It's the decision-making at the racetrack. Really caring, like Kenny Brown and all their people, they really, really care about what's going on and try not to make a bad decision, and no egos there, you know. Not saying USAC has any of that, but there is a little bit of it, and there's a lot of guys at USAC that really do care and want the sport to rock and roll and keep growing, and but they gotta care as if it was them, you know. So making decisions where you don't care if you were in that situation kind of makes everything look bad, you know? So, you know, for instance, one of the things that happened this year was pushing off that little Belleville to qualify. A motor don't turn over until getting into three. Well, then by the time it turns over, it takes the fuel from the fuel cable, fuel pump, to run through the engine before you can fire it. Well, if you're at that short of a racetrack, you still have the push truck behind you. If your car is not turning over before getting into three, you still have the push truck coming to the green pushing you, and they'll go green on you. You know, instead of using the trying to help the guys who couldn't get their motors to turn over and couldn't get fuel to them to fire, give them that little extra time to get going and have a legit shot at qualifying. When they've traveled all the way across the country or worked all week in the shop or anything like that, they just flat out don't care anymore, and they're going to go green and do what they want, you know? So Power Eye has a good family atmosphere, and they try to make decisions on helping guys come back, and they know what it takes. They own their own cars in the shop, so they know what it really takes to keep a car at the racetrack.
We mentioned that you moved back to California this year. So what's the best part about moving back to the West Coast? And what's one thing that you miss about living in the Midwest during the week?
I tell you what, the West Coast weather is really good. Being back home with the family, seeing mom and dad every week, it's pretty cool. You know, I didn't get to see them a lot over the years. So the family part of it for me I still don't get to see the beach and stuff a lot because I'm traveling so much and racing. So not really that. It's more the family part of it. And the part I miss back in Indy is just being at the race shop every day. You know, that being at the race shop and being a part of the race team every single day was a lot of fun to me. And it was my life since 2002. So I really miss being at the shop every day, but it's just part of the path I've taken this time of year and this year, and hopefully one day I'll be back in the race shop full time. But if not, God has a plan and sees what we're doing every week.
And Darren, what's your plan for the rest of the year? Obviously, you and the 56 team, you're going to be doing some racing, but do you have anything else planned throughout the season?
No, not really. Right now, we're going to do some Great Clips appearances and meet some people, maybe some kids, and just have a good time with that. We're going to chase the Power Eye races the rest of the year, wherever they're going to race. We're going to try to go over to New Zealand around Christmas time, race over there, hit a couple of USAC shows maybe, you know, the races at the end of the year, Canyon and Paris Auto Speedway Turkey Night, maybe Oval Nationals in the sprint car with Levi Jones. So a few things across the country we're still going to do and chase and be a part of. We've got a lot of great organizations surrounding our program and a lot of great organizations we want to go run races with. So we're just going to keep trucking along with this Shane Mill Great Clips 56.
One last question. Power Eye has initiated this world championship that encompasses New Zealand, Australia, and the United States. Do you think that thing has some legs to grow and where we're going to see a multitude of teams? You already see quite a few come back for the Illinois and Indiana midget weeks and such. But do you think we could see that has the potential to grow to be even bigger?
Yeah, I mean, everything has the potential to grow with the effort put in. I mean, you put a lot of effort into it. You get some sponsorships behind it. You try to get some people to help sponsor different teams to be able to go across to different countries or get a couple of drivers to go across to different, you know, countries. Everything's possible to grow. It's really tough to try to get a series to go to three different countries, so that might be tough to do, but they're really working hard at it, and they're going to keep trying it. So hats off to Bill Buckley and Brad Mosen's dad, Greg Mosen, and Power Eye for trying to put something real special together like that. Our sport definitely needs some more spark and new spark all the time, so keeping people interested and keeping the fans there. Without the fans, we wouldn't be there for sure, so keeping some spark for the fans to follow along and different countries to chase it and stuff like that. I think it's really going to grow. And if it don't, I know they're going to give it 100% effort to try. So we'll see what happens.
Well, it's definitely, we're glad to have you representing us overseas when you go and do that. Very well-spoken young man. And we look forward to following you throughout the rest of the season, Darren. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for having me on. Got to give a big thanks to Shane Mill and the whole Great Clips organization with Fathead Sunglasses, Henchman Race Uniforms, Bell Helmet, JMI Construction on the West Coast, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just everybody that surrounded us and a part of this whole team and our fans that chase us around the country. Without all these organizations and our fans, we definitely wouldn't be there. So it's really a big thank you for them, and I'm just proud to be a part of it.
And young racers, that's a kid that gets it, so take notes. And good job, Darren, and look forward to seeing you later in the year.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Darren Hagan, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back with more of TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and zero admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway.
Listening to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Thank you, Beth. Moving on in the show, our next guest pulled off one of the most incredible passes of the 2014 season to win the Silver Crown event over at what is now Lucas Oil Raceway at Indianapolis. We'll just call it IRP for old time's sake. But David Byrne, congratulations, joining us on the line here. David, what an incredible pass for the lead. Let's start off with the last 10 laps or so of that race. Why don't you talk us through how in the world did you get that set up and get by in the last lap?
Oh, the last 10 laps, we had a yellow with 17 to go. That's when we went green again. And I really didn't think I had much of a tanner because I hadn't seen him all race. And I got past, I got a really good run on Cody and then Ryan when they were fighting. And I got by both of them on the same lap. And I just started to run down Tanner. My crew chief, Chewy, James Sandberg, we did some shock adjustments on that last yellow. And it just made the car rocket coming off the corner. That's where Tanner was having most of his problems. And, you know, I just kept running them in and reeling them in. And my spotter, my crew chief, they're all on the radio just giving it all they had to get me to get around them.
And on that last lap, man, the bot, you know, getting in there and man, you guys come off four side by side. Was any of that just, did it feel sketchy in the car or did it feel pretty comfortable? Like, yeah, I've got this all the way, off that last corner.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, it wasn't really a bonsai move or anything. He kind of tried to block me going into turn one. And I think he really scrubbed a lot of speed going through one and two. And I really didn't get in much harder into three than I had been all night. And, like I said, he was just really having a struggle getting his power to the ground coming off. And those last adjustments we made, I mean, we were just, I knew we had him as soon as I got beside him. And even if we didn't, we were both going to be in the fence or else I wasn't going to let him have that one.
And, was that something that you guys might've found in testing or experience? Or is that just kind of something you guys threw at it there at the end?
We haven't really ever tested with the Silver Crown car. It's always just been in races. It's just something that we've been close. We got third the two previous times we were there. So we knew that we were close. That last yellow, I think just got me. I mean, I'm just a patient driver, and I think sometimes that hurts me a little bit and lets Tanner get out or lets the leader get out, and away from me. But, with that last yellow, it leveled the playing field as far as myself as a driver and everybody else. And, so it was just something that, we were working on. And I mean, the last time we went to IRP, I think we ran two laps. We were quick time in practice and qualified third. So, I mean, we've been close before.
And, in after taking checkered flag, what were the first thoughts of your mind once you got across the finish line first?
Well, if anybody watches the video, I really, it took me a lap. I mean, I kind of went, full speed for about a half a lap and I heard everybody coming, screaming on the other side. And, it started to sink in. Cody hit me a couple times going through three and four. So I knew obviously the race was over, but, it didn't really sink in even, you know, until I actually watched the video the next morning. It hadn't sunk in yet.
David Byrd joining us. And, David, you've done kind of, through a lot of different open wheel divisions on pavement. You did some midget racing and, now you've morphed into the Silver Crown division, also doing some wing sprint car racing. How did you get interested in doing the short track open wheel, divisions?
We were racing against in go-karts, we were racing against a brother of a gentleman that ran midgets. And that they knew that we were going to be moving on, and they told us maybe we were going to do stock cars or a dirt midget, and they said, well, come on down to Grundy and watch the Umara series run. And after the first race, I think we bought the midget 2 or 3 weeks after the first race that we watched, and you know, the rest is history.
And you did the pavement midget thing for a while, and like many other teams, you've kind of gravitated away from that. What made you want to get or go do something else other than the pavement midget division?
We'd had mild success with the midget, I guess I would say, for the 10 years that we ran it. My physical size being 6'2", 220, 230 pounds, doesn't really fit in a midget real well, and I think that's our main struggles. And, you know, I didn't have the time to put into a Silver Crown car, but with my mechanic, Chewy, he really thought that the Silver Crown cars would benefit my style of driving. And I think what's helped me transition so fast is that I put so much effort into driving so hard in the midget because we had to, just because I think, you know, I'm 100 pounds, you know, 80 pounds heavier than the next driver in the series. You know, that's helped me, you know, I'm driving to what I feel, you know, isn't that hard. I mean, the Silver Crown cars aren't that hard to drive compared to a midget for myself.
David Byrne joining us, and I'm still trying to figure out how he got in the midget at that size. But this, also you took on the winged sprint car this year on pavement. What made you want to go do that? And, how much fun have you been having with that?
The winged car is a blast. I mean, it's, the main reason we got into that is just the sheer number of races that we can do. With us only doing the pavement side of the Silver Crown series so far, you know, that's only, you know, 3 to 5 races, maybe 6 if they get aggressive with the schedule. But the wing car, most of the races are in Michigan. With us being from Wisconsin, we meet, the car comes up from Indianapolis, we meet, and it seemed to fit real well. We tried to do stock cars a couple of years ago. That didn't work out so well, so we thought the wing car would be the way to go.
And, you know, you got to do both on the same weekend, which is kind of interesting. What is it like? Is it take you a few laps after you've just gotten out of the Silver Crown car earlier in the week to go to the wing sprint car and get into that mentality, or do you go between the two relatively easily?
They're relatively just the size of the track the Silver Crown cars are on. But, I mean, the biggest thing to get used to in the wing car is just you don't let off that much going into the corner. There's so much downforce with the wings. But the overall speed is usually around the same feeling because, you know, with the wing, you're going faster on a shorter track. And then, I mean, the speed feeling, I mean, it just comes, you know, it comes within the first couple of laps.
You mentioned you're doing only the pavement side this year of the Silver Crown and also the pavement sprint cars. Have you had any interest to go dirt racing at any point?
Well, there's been a lot of talk of that here recently. Not really sure yet. The reason we didn't get a dirt Silver Crown car before we got the wing car was just the sheer fact that the Silver Crown series was on a strong, you know, strong foothold. You know, whether or not it was kind of a year to year thing or if it was just going to be dirt. So we kind of been playing our cards right and made sure we didn't have all of our eggs in one basket in the Silver Crown series. But, that's yet to be determined if we'll go, dirt Silver Crown racing here yet or not.
And we saw a really good car count Lucas Oil Raceway at Indianapolis. What has been your experience with Andy Hillenburg and the group that's trying to kind of revive the series at this point?
Andy, I have nothing but 100% respect for him. He's really, he's the USAC guy, Silver Crown guy at heart. And, I feel he's got nothing but the best intentions. I hope he sticks around for many years to come. Everything seems to be fine. You know, he's getting out there, getting the car owners, back interested and back, you know, 100% in. I think if they raised the purse back to where it was a couple of years ago, that would get a lot more people interested. But it seems like, you know, there's a lot of new guys there. I mean, even if half of the older teams were to come back, I feel that the new guys that have already shown up this year, you know, we'd have a pretty diverse field.
And rounding out the season, how many more wing sprint car starts can fans expect to see you throughout the 2014 season?
We were kind of, you know, marking them off here this week coming home on Saturday night, and it's up in the air. I mean, you know, probably 10 to 15 at the most, probably somewhere more around the 10, and then we'll finish off with the King of Wings out west in California.
Oh, so you're going to make the West Coast trip. That'll be interesting to see how that's received because they don't have a lot of wing pavement racing. They have a little bit of it out there, but they definitely don't have 410s, and that's going to be a fascinating deal when you guys head out west.
Yeah, the rumors that I heard is that the 410s that come from the Midwest here or 410 that competes out there is going to have to run a restrictor in the motor so that the 360 guys don't have to or aren't at a disadvantage. I talked to Davey Hamilton Jr. in line for intros going to IRP for the Silver Crown race, and he said that you know they're expecting, you know, 20 mid-20s car count out there, and you know that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, so some new territory for the wing pavement sprinklers. Well, David, congratulations on the big win. It was really neat to see, and look forward to seeing you do some more pavement racing throughout the year.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I just like to thank my father, Steve, Pete, Chewy, and then also Truck Country of Shellsburg, which has recently bought out Stoops Freightliner in Indianapolis. So it's a new name in that area, and go check them out.
All right. Well, David, congratulations, and look forward to seeing you up here in a few weeks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, David Byrne, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If
you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Glade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Cade on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and zero admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic, presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Sad news tonight. Bill Gardner, the proprietor and owner of IndianaOpenWheel.com, has finally succumbed to his battle with cancer, passing away. And the news came out today, and it kind of hit me like a brick, because Bill's one of the guys that works. We've worked together on some stuff, and we didn't really cross paths that much at the racetrack, but we talked quite a bit offline, and we would talk about, it was always, a lot of people might think, like, people like Alan Hall and myself, or Bill Gardner and myself, might not necessarily get along, but we always saw eye to eye. Alan and I have a great relationship, and Bill and I consider had a good working relationship too. We would always be open to bouncing questions off each other and whatnot, and Bill never really let his illness or let on to how much it maybe was bothering him or what was going on with it with me. He'd just say he's just carrying on and kept on going, and it's just heartbreaking to see the news that he had passed away. But he had built up something that I never would have the courage to do again, which is have a very active message board on the internet that did a great job promoting the sport and still does and should going into the future. it's just, you know, I would never have the courage to do that. I actually had a situation years ago where people were, you know, I had a driver's family member come up to me and was not real happy about something that was said, and they were saying it in a way where they felt like I was saying it, and I just didn't have the courage to do it. So we've always had a forum on and off, but we don't overly promote it. We don't really beat the drum with it. We try to make the news and this show and the podcast and everything the biggest part of the site, where Bill, that was their bread and butter over there. It was a place where race fans and race teams and owners and drivers and track owners could all gather and talk about our favorite thing. And he had thicker skin than I would have. It just amazed me sometimes some of the stuff he could do. But some of the stuff they accomplished that I was so impressed with, and I always will be. And always was open, super nice guy, and we're all really going to miss Bill. And it's really sad to see that Bill Gardner from Indiana Open Wheel has passed away. So our best wishes and condolences to him and his family and friends at this time. And we're just getting ready to wrap up things here on TJ Sideways Live on racesontheweb.com this week. We're cutting it a little bit short because Oshwegan Speedway has their 360 program. We want to catch up with that. And also, we're working hard on our Knoxville stuff. Next Monday night is the Knoxville Nationals preview show. And, of course, the 360 Nationals is this week, but we're only going out for the 410s this year. It's about all the vacation time I have to accommodate that event. And we're going to start previewing that. Don't forget, we have the Little 500 forum on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. During the 410 Nationals at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Come talk Little 500 with us for a second year. Tony Elliott's confirmed. Max Dolder's confirmed. Still working on a couple of other guests. A couple of the people we had last year have travel conflicts and aren't going to be able to join us, but we're going to try to get a couple of fresh faces in there, some new perspective on that event. And it's going to be great this year at Knoxville because Mudclod Bob's coming out with us too. So we're going to have a two-man tandem covering the Nationals this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of neat things planned, and we've already begun work on the preview show. We're going to start working on it tomorrow night, and really look forward to what we have put together. I think you're really going to enjoy it. So on behalf of everyone here at TJSlideways.com, thank you for listening to our TJ Slideways Live program that comes on every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you. And good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.